I just realized that the presentation that I have on here and I'm using is not the one where I changed some of the titles. It won't make any difference to the lesson, but I did change instead of having internal storage to embedded storage. And in fact, I believe on the title page that we should have up on the screen right here, it should say "Store in My Heart," because that's what I got as a title on the top of my sermon. And I made the changes late last night, but didn't update all of the copies. That's what happens when you got too many copies of something and you forget which one's where and what you've updated. Some of y'all understand that. Some of you are still shifting paper around and understand that as well. But it shouldn't affect our lesson. I just want to let you know that this idea of internal storage, I'm talking about embedded storage, that which is within us, that which is buried deep within. And of course, that would be our heart. And that's what the psalmist talks about here. Storing things in our heart. And we want to talk about the need to store things in our heart. We are in a world that is filled with ideas of external knowledge. I would say that this is recent, but I recall way back in another life when I was a car mechanic, auto technician is what I was actually. One of the things I was taught is you don't have to learn everything. You don't have to know all the details. Just know where to find it in the car manual. Just know which book to go to and where to go in that book so you can find it. And that made a lot of sense because wiring diagrams and diagnosis paths and all those sort of things were different from one vehicle to another sometimes. And so it was almost impossible to have all of that within me. But there's a certain amount of that knowledge that because I used it so much, it's still with me today. I remember bits and pieces, mainly some basic principles. Now, some of y'all probably use the same principles in your own vocations as you were working steadily or as you continue to work. But we've been taught that what we need to do is just store things offside. Just have it somewhere where we can get to it. How many of you can remember the phone number you had when you were growing up? Your parents' phone number. Your phone number when you were in high school. But can't tell me what your phone number is right now. Yeah, well, mine's finally, some of my old phone numbers have faded. I remember a few girlfriends' phone numbers, or at least part of them, from way back then. Way, way, way back then, let's say. But I have trouble remembering my own phone number sometimes. I can tell you one of my wife's phone numbers, but the other one I have to ask her about. Why? Because it's stored in my phone. I don't have to carry it in my mind. It's there. I can break my phone out at any time, open it up, and I just hit JoBeth, and it calls her. In fact, I can actually tell my little headset, call JoBeth, and that's what it'll do. I don't even have to remember where to find it on my phone. We externalize a lot of things. Birthdays, appointments. I suspect most of y'all's got calendars that are as Christmas-like looking as my wife's is from time to time. Because you've got appointments, and depending on what appointment it is, you've got a certain color so it stands out, whether it's a really important one or not. We externalize all kinds of information. And because of that, it's very easy for us to let God's information be stored off-site. Now, I'm all about carrying a Bible on your phone. I'm all about carrying a Bible, a physical Bible around with you if you want to. If you've got a Bible program on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, any one of or all of those, then you've got access to the Word of God just about anywhere you go. If you've moved up to a smartphone now, if you're still using one of them old flip phones, you may not be able to get a Bible app on it right yet. But I want to tell you, that's not good enough. That's not sufficient for the Word of God. It's great to have that reference. It's good to be able to go to something quickly and find the verses and work through them, maybe even have a a chain reference or a commentary or a concordance or a dictionary or something on there, and then when you're sitting in the doctor's office, you can sit there and study your Bible. That's great. But that's not enough for God's Word. We need to have God's Word stored on site. We need to have it with us. Maybe you've noticed there's a column in the bulletin that's titled Store in Your Heart. And it has a verse in there. Just over the last year, we've gone through and looked at one verse for pretty much every book in the Bible. I think I doubled up on 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles to tell us get a good idea of what that book is about. Because that way, if we want to know something about the time frame of the history of Israel, and we know that it was in the time of the captivity, then we can remember that these books deal with that time of captivity. Or if we want to go look at one of the prophecies of Christ, we can go look at. If we can remember something about each of those books. And of course, the one that comes to mind most readily is the first verse in the Bible, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." That tells us that Genesis is a book of beginnings. Exodus is a book about Exodus. It tells about them leaving the land of Egypt. And I hope you've taken advantage of those verses and at least got the idea of the verses in your mind. Now, I'm not the best at remembering things or memorizing things. I recall a few things from my childhood that I was told I had to memorize because I actually did it right. There's a lot of them that I got them good enough that I could quote them in Bible class, whichever time it was, and then most of it's gone. But now there are some verses that readily come to mind when I start thinking about certain topics and certain subjects. Because they're a part of who I am now. They're stored within me, and we need to do that with God's Word. And the reason it's so important that we do that is because the Bible tells us how God sees us. The Bible tells us how God sees earth, how God sees life, how God sees all things. Having the Bible within us gets us an idea of what God wants us to look like. In fact, if we can keep the basic principles and some of the teachings of the Bible in our heart, we can always tell whether we measure up to God's standard or not by comparing how we act with what it says. That's what James is talking about in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, "Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his deeds," or in his doing. Now, we often turn to that as a verse to emphasize the fact that we need to do the will of God, and certainly that's included in what James talks about here. But also notice what he says. The one who doesn't do the word of God is like somebody that reads the word and then forgets what it said. How much different would our life be? How much different might our actions be if we always remembered what God's word said? If we had it stored in our heart. We carried it with us everywhere. It would let us see ourselves as God sees us. I don't know about you, but if you're like me, you might find yourself a little more disappointed with how you're doing some things from time to time. Because you get started in something, oh, wait a minute. Maybe that's not something that I ought to be doing. Or you look at something and think, well, that'll... And then you think, oh, wait a minute, if I remember this verse, maybe that is something I ought to be giving some more focus to. I ought to be giving more attention to in my life. If all we have is our physical Bible or our electronic Bible, then in order to get those feelings, we've got to be looking at that in order for it to affect us. We need to recognize that studying and applying the Bible in our life is necessary in order for us to have God's approval. God will not approve of our lives if it's not directed by His Word, and we need to have His Word within us if we're going to direct our lives by it. Paul told Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. And Peter reminds us in 1 Peter chapter 3, even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor God, the Lord, Christ the Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. That's not going to happen if the only place we have God's Word is in a physical book or on our computers or our phones. That's going to happen if we're carrying it in our hearts and using it in our everyday life. We're told the Scriptures contain everything that we need. All things that pertain to life and godliness are ours through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Paul tells us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, he told Timothy, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Oftentimes when I've used that passage, I've emphasized that idea of all Scripture makes reference back to those things that Timothy had learned from his youth, which means Paul's talking about the Old Testament. And maybe I've overemphasized that because we need to remember 2 Timothy is about the last, in fact, I think it is the last letter that Paul wrote. So all the other things that Paul had written that Peter elsewhere describes as Scripture were considered Scripture by this time. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Thessalonians, the book of Acts, most of the Gospels were already written by this time. Paul says those things are there to provide us for everything we need to correct our wrongs and to do the good works that God would have us to do. And they are from God. Why wouldn't we want to hold them dear within our hearts? Peter said His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Peter says the Word is there to get rid of sin in your life and to bring you into a right relationship with God so that He is approving of how you live your life. So hold it dear. Keep it close. Study it diligently. Hang on to it with all your might. Store it in your heart, in your mind. Make it a part of you. Embed it deep within who you are, because it shows us what God sees. Let me rephrase that. It shows me what God sees when He looks at me. And I need to know that. I need to be aware of that. It also is food for the soul. Many of us either have had or at this point have gardens, and we bring the produce in and we preserve it. We set it in the pantry. We put it in the freezer. We can it. We do all sorts of things to preserve it. We build root cellars to keep stuff fresh, or to keep it for a long period of time, so that it's there for us to use it. But that food does us absolutely no good when it's in storage it only does us good when it is within us. It only works to strengthen and build us up when we take it into us. When we make it a part of ourselves. And the Word of God is food for our soul. And it won't do us any good as long as it's laying off there on the shelf in storage. It's only going to help us when we take it within us. When we read and study. Having a working knowledge of the Bible, knowing where things are and what it talks about, having an idea of the plan of God and how it works through the whole of the Old and New Testaments. These things arm us against the difficulties and hardships that life is guaranteed to throw at us. It covers every condition and every problem that we may come up against. Somebody says, well, now wait a minute, there's nothing in that Bible about drug addiction. Well, yeah, there is. You remember those passages that talk about being wary of idols? Being concerned about things that take over your mind and your thoughts and your life to such a way that they pull you away from God? That's instruction about drug addiction. Don't let anything overcome you such that it pulls you away from God. Or we could turn to the passages that talk about drunkenness. That's a drug addiction. It has an answer for every condition and problem. It can be used in every emergency that may come upon us from the time we are born until the time that we die. We just got through reading that it's got everything we need for life and godliness. That covers it all. It feeds us with what we need to survive. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, Paul told the Roman brethren, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. If we want to be free from sin, it is essential that we have knowledge of the Bible and that we are obedient to the Bible. And the only way that comes is by feeding our souls with it. John records Jesus as saying to the Jews that believed in Him, if you abide in My Word, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It gives us what we need so we can be free from sin. I don't have 1 John, I think it's chapter 3 up here, where John tells us that because the seed of God abides within us, we can live without sin. The child of God does not, the one who is born of God does not sin because his seed abides within. Not his seed is in a scroll laying off on the shelf somewhere in the house, but his seed abides within. Somebody might say, now why in the world is Dan telling us again that we need to spend time in the Bible? We need to study the Bible. We're Christians. We've been Christians, some of us, for decades. Some of us for just a few years. But we've heard this before. We know we're supposed to study the Bible. We're not together as much as we usually are. You're not getting food from God's Word in Bible class on Sunday morning. You're not getting food from God's Word on Sunday evening. We're not having Wednesday night Bible class where we can study some of these things. And so you need to, just like I need to for me and my family, spend more time in the Word of God to make up for that. We need to spend time in God's Word. That's the only place we can get what we need, especially when we don't have the ongoing fellowship of the brethren coming together to study and work together to learn about the Word of God, to strengthen and encourage one another. And without it, we will sin. It'll happen. Again, in 1 John chapter 2, he said, I write these things that you will not sin. Why? Because if you don't get these things, you will sin. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this Word is the good news that was preached to you. If you need a verse that makes the connection between the seed that dwells within us, the seed that we were born again through, and the Word of God, here it is. The Word of God is the seed that feeds us so we can keep ourselves from sin, so we can come out of sin. The Word of God has everything that is necessary for everybody, no matter what your level of understanding and knowledge. Whether you're a babe in Christ, or you're a, should we use the term teenager in Christ? Have you made it to adulthood? Have you made it to maturity? The Word of God has everything you need, no matter what stage in your Christian life you're in. Put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. Somebody says, well, I've been a Christian for a long time. I'm probably past milk. Folks, I have a glass of milk every morning. At least part of a glass still. Milk's still good for those of us who are older in Christ. It's not sufficient to take care of everything. That's why the Hebrew writer tells us that there comes a time when we ought to be able to move beyond milk. He rebukes those Hebrews saying, you have need of milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Since he is a child. Let me suggest to you that if the word of God is still stored off site for you, you're going to need a lot of milk instead of solid food. Because the Hebrew writer continues, he says, solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to discern or distinguish good from evil. We need to continue to fill our souls up with the Word of God and exercise our minds in considering and studying and meditation so that we can move beyond just needing milk and able to handle some of the weightier things of the law. Maybe even be able to handle some of those difficult things that Paul wrote about, that Peter says some are taking and twisting like they do all the other scriptures. The weightier matters. The things that the more mature are better able to understand. Because knowing the Bible, having it be a part of us, is the only thing that will keep us from an error that might cost us eternity. It warns us against and prepares us so that we can come out of sin and so that we can overcome sin as it comes upon us, and it keeps us from being overwhelmed with things that might destroy us. And so we need to continue to study and learn the Word of God. I urge you to be like the Bereans, who Luke records are more noble than the Jews in Thessalonica because they received the word with readiness and eagerness, and they examined the scriptures daily to see if the things were so. I don't typically have a whole lot of weighty thoughts in my sermons. But I suspect that sometime or another, every one of you have heard me say something that you thought, well, now, where did he get that idea? Or what is he talking about? My question to you, did you go home and work it out? Did you get in the Word and try to figure it out? Or did you ask me or somebody else to help you better understand that? That's what Luke is talking about with the Bereans here. They didn't just, okay, Paul said that, so that must be it. They went and checked to make sure that he was teaching the things that were in the Scriptures, that what he said was of God, and they searched those Scriptures to come to an understanding of what he was teaching. I know they did that because they changed their lives as a result of hearing and studying and became faithful to the Lord. Continued to grow and to increase. John tells us, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Peter told the Galatian brethren, don't accept everything that's taught. There's some out there that are perverting the gospel, and some of you turned after it, and I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel that you'd already received. He says, you need to test. If anybody tells you anything different than what we've already told you, and inherent in that is, if anybody tells you anything different than what the Scriptures tell you, don't believe. In that part of Galatians chapter 1, what, verses 7, 8, and 9? You're saying the same thing that John is saying there in 1 John 4 and verse 1. Test them and see if they're right. Try them. It's food for the soul. It builds us up. It strengthens us. It prepares us for the things that we're going to have to face. Just like getting up and eating breakfast every morning prepares us for starting our day. And most of us don't just eat breakfast. We eat a little bit later on. Some of us get a snack and then we get lunch. And then maybe we get another snack later in the afternoon, and then we get supper. Some of us even get a snack before we go to bed. And there's probably some of us that wake up, I'm feeling a little hungry, so we go and maybe get a spoon of peanut butter or something and go back to bed. Why? Because we want to feed our bodies. Maybe we'd be better at feeding our souls if God had given us some hunger pains there. But he's given us sufficient warning to know that we need to do that. And the Bible prepares us for eternity. Gets us ready for that which follows this life. And it's not something that's just going to be a little bit and then it's over with. It's something that's going to last forever. We prepare ourselves for things that are going to be long term. We want to be ready for that. Well, we'll never experience anything on this earth as long term as eternity. So are we preparing for that? I've read of and even personally know a few folks that's got a whole lot of stuff stored back in case everything collapses. They've got a bunker somewhere. Some of them have bought missile silos and filled them up with food and provisions and water and means of making electricity and all of these sort of things so that they can continue to survive in some form similar to what they have after everything falls apart and there's not even a grid to be off-grid on anymore. They're prepared to last for the long term. I'm not talking about a few months. I'm talking they're prepared to last for a decade or more. You know, in all the reading I've read from those folks and even some of the ones that I know that do have some, maybe not that long term, but do have some long term, they say very little about God's Word. And when all their provisions have run out, they'll only be just a microsecond into the kind of time that we're talking about with eternity. Why would we prepare for some short period of time here on this earth, whether it be the destruction of all, or it be the
the education of our children, retirement, our health, and not prepare for eternity. And to be prepared for eternity, we need God's Word in our heart. The Christian who is knowledgeable, that understands God's Word and carries it with them, is one who is able to comfort and edify the discouraged and brokenhearted. Somebody that understands God's Word and carries it with them in their heart can give comfort to someone who is in sorrow, who has had loss, because they know about eternity. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. In Thessalonians, Paul says, "We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." Why? Well, the Thessalonian brethren were having a little problem. They were thinking that Jesus was fixing to be here. And some of them had left their jobs, left all their things, and were just sitting around waiting on Jesus to return. And Paul said, some of these people need to be woke up and made aware that they need to be busy doing what must be done now, because when eternity comes, having a list of, "I sat here and waited on Jesus on this mountaintop for 2 years," is not going to help. It's not going to assist. The one who knows the Word of God can encourage and strengthen and build up, can teach other people about God so that they can become prepared for eternity. The Scriptures build us up and put our focus on God, point us to heaven. Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, we have it recorded, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." There is not another place we can find that kind of support to build us up and give us the inheritance. Paul told Timothy, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." The Word gives us what we need to be ready for eternity. And therefore, it should be dear to us, and it should be something that we want to hold within us, and we want to store up in our heart and buried deep within us so that it can never be taken away. It will be our standard on the day of judgment. "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge," Jesus said. "The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day." And we read in the Revelation chapter 20, "I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done." The Word of God needs to be embedded in our hearts. It needs to be in on-site storage. Not just something that we can pick up when we're feeling down or when we're having a problem, but something that we carry with us everywhere we go. Lately, I've been seeing from various sources pleas for help in getting Bibles to brethren in Africa and brethren in China and the Philippines and various other places, so that they would have Bibles that they could read from in their own language. But I'm convinced it's not just a plea so they can have a physical Bible to carry with them, but so they can have it and study it and read it on a regular basis. One of the things that stands out for me in the story about how our printed Bibles and translations came to be is the eagerness with which the people gathered those things up when they were being mass-produced. The press didn't just allow us to print up a lot of Bibles. It allowed a man to take that Bible home and read it and study it, so he could make it a part of who he was. He no longer had to wait until the Lord's Day and gather with the saints and listen to somebody read whatever particular passage they thought was prevalent at that time or needed at that time. He could do it on his own. I'm not saying that this is a downplay the need for us coming together and studying from the Word of God. We do need to fellowship together and study. But we need to spend enough time in the Word of God that it hangs around in our minds. But it's always there. I'm not talking about waiting until you get old and cramming for a final. I'm talking about spending time with it all year long. Every year of your life. So that it's always there. There are some passages that are going to be precious to you that you want to hold dear that may not affect me in that same manner. They may not be anything that I think twice about. Because I haven't had the same experience as you. And so, if the only Bible you get is when you come together with the saints and you listen to the sermon on Sunday morning, you may miss out on that verse that is most precious to you, or that passage. I hesitate to say verse because we tend to take them out of context and use them all by yourself. I'm also not talking about just memorizing those verses that you put up on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever that is. I'm talking about reading passages from the Word of God. Sit down and read a book from the Bible. If you can find time to sit down and read from the Bible, read about 10 chapters at a time, probably not going to take you more than an hour, maybe only a half an hour. And you can read any book of the Bible in about a week. Except Psalms. Psalms is going to take you a little longer than that at 10 Psalms for reading. Imagine how many times you could go through the Bible in a year if you did that. Or imagine, especially those of us who have a little more time on our hands than we used to, imagine not only you read that 10 chapters, but then you go back and you study that. I know it's a crazy thought, but maybe take a book a week and sit down on Sunday and read that entire book, and then on Monday go back and read diligently in a certain part of that book. And Tuesday, go back and do the same thing with another part. Make some notes off to the side, maybe. Maybe you got them colored markers and you can mark in your Bible and you can circle this, mark that. Or maybe if you're somebody who's been doing that for a long time, you go back and look back through and circle the notes. Unfortunately, some of you may have to just go back and make those notes and circles again. Because that helps us bring it into our heart. It helps us hold it here within us, and that's where we need the Word of God. It needs to be stored, embedded in our heart. And that will guide us in the right way. Of course, there's always the possibility that one of us has failed in applying the principle of Scripture. Knowing it is not enough, we must do it. If you find this morning there's something in your life that's amiss, you recognize there's some wrong, some trouble that you have in your life that you need to deal with, we encourage you to set that right. To pray to God and ask Him to forgive. He's promised that He will. And wipe it away as if it's never been. If you've never become a child of God, we encourage you to become one. Confess your belief in the Savior. Repent of your sins. Turn away from the world and turn to Christ. Be buried in baptism to not have your sin washed away. The things are available and waiting for you. And then spend your life studying and applying the Word of God. And you have hope for eternity with God in such a way. If we can assist, the opportunity is yours. Come, while we stand and sing for the church.